The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing the show. We're already at, July 17th already on this Tuesday, 2018, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We're going to talk in the first segment about the summer thunderstorm season, a.k.a. monsoon, which is off to a halfway decent productive start. Zach Guido is with us. Dr. Guido is a climate scientist with the University of Arizona Climate Assessment for the Southwest Group at the University of Arizona-based Institute for the Environment. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for the invitation, Bill.
We got a nice little bump June 15th. It used to be the monsoon was depending on dew points and all these other things, two or three days, certain dew point. Then the National Weather Service made it a lot easier for us, didn't they? They said June 15th to, September 30th, that's going to be our monsoon season.
It does make it easier to communicate that long window. But, you know, historically, the monsoon starts around July 1st, July 3rd, I think, is the average start date here in Tucson. And, yeah, we got a nice sort of surprise. June 15th snuck right in on that sort of official monsoon season from a dying tropical storm, Bud, which was really nice for this part of the country because we had a very long period of no rain. In fact, it was encroaching upon the longest stretch in the history of Tucson, 110 days. We actually came in, I think, at 106 or 107. So that tropical storm, Bud, we'll take it.
Yeah, we will. And it was a very productive one. What I liked about it was a very gentle rain, 24 hours of rain, and anywhere from 1 to 3, in some areas had up to 2.5 inches. So it kind of got us, the plants were all saying, finally, we got some moisture.
They were very happy.
Yeah, it set the stage for what we're hoping will be a pretty good monsoon. What do we have so far? About almost 2 inches this season?
Yeah, I think if you look across the state, it's been pretty good so far. It started about 10 days ago here in Tucson, 7th, I believe, July 7th. We've had close to almost 2 inches of rainfall at the Tucson airport. The big winter in that period. The big winter has been sort of Oro Valley area around Tucson. Some rain loggers, people who monitor and report on their rain gauges, you know, have recorded close to 5 inches of rain up there.
And wow.
Yeah, and you know, central Tucson maybe a little bit less, and out east a little bit more. So, you know, it kind of depends on where you live, whether or not you think that this monsoon season has been good so far, but. You know, at a number of these sort of official National Weather Service monitoring stations like the airport in Tucson, Douglas Airport, Sierra Vista, and those areas, it's pretty much been above average. So I think we can say so far that the monsoon is delivered.
And even though the official rain gauge remains out at the airport, even though the National Weather Service offices a few years ago, they moved to the University of Arizona.
That's right, yeah. And there's a number of weather stations across Arizona that we look at, like the flood control, Pima County Flood Control has a number of these. So we don't, in the monsoon season, we try not to peg just one station because, you know, as you know, Bill, it can rain at your house and not rain at my house. So it's pretty variable spatially, so. It's good to look at a number of different stations.
What is your prediction? I see that you and your teammates over there at the Climate Assessment for the Southwest put out a news release. I guess you were predicting 12 days of rain for the month of July.
Yeah, thanks. this is more for fun, I guess. It wasn't very scientific. I mean,
did Mike predict, Mike Crimmins?
I think he predicted a little less. I should say this, that our sort of running thought is that it's really hard to predict the monsoon, any sort of metric. And your best bet is to go with historical averages. And if you look at Tucson, so for example, the Tucson airport gets about 2.25 inches in July, about 2 inches in August, and about an inch and a quarter or an inch and a half in September. And there's been no trends in precipitation and many of the different metrics in the monsoon. So, you know, our estimates are really wishful thinking. So I think I bet on the sort of more optimistic side, and Mike was closer to average. But right now, I think, you know, July has at the airport has been close to 2 inches, 1.8 inches. You know, so we're nearing its average. You know, we've had a high level of humidity around. We've had relatively good conditions. Perhaps we could have done a little bit better if the winds were a little bit stronger in the atmosphere. But I'd be surprised if, you know, we came under average. So I think.
And of course, last year was completely an anomaly. We had the wettest July on record, but most of it came in a 14-day period.
Yeah, and I think last year is interesting because it offers a couple examples. One is, like you said, we had this really productive two and a half week period, record-setting rain in July here in Tucson, close to 7 inches, and then basically the monsoon stopped for the most part at the airport. Obviously, there was rain elsewhere, but we came in at just over 8.5 inches of rain. So seven of those 8.5 inches fell in this 2.5 week period of time. And, you know, we still ended, when you look at the total, we still ended, close to top 10. So, you know, it's some optimism looking at last year. We can get a lot of rain in a month, but also some pessimism in that, you know, it can abruptly stop.
I like the way the temperatures have been. Yes, the humidity's up, but the temperatures have been for Arizona, pretty moderate.
Yeah, and that's not unrelated to the humidity. Mm-hmm. When you have high humidity, you have cloud cover. It really takes the top off the high temperatures. Of course, it makes the low temperatures a little bit higher. So in the last 10 days or so, there's been a lot of cloud cover around, and so it's kept the temperatures down. But we're gonna experience some breaks in the monsoon where the humidity is gonna dip, and we'll get those cloudless days, and the max temperatures will be up over 100 again, and hopefully they'll just be few and far between, and we'll have a pretty interesting monsoon season.
Are the steering winds where they should be this time? Because I've been reading that we've been getting a lot of moisture coming up from the Gulf of California.
Yeah, so you know, we've been under easterly flow. So the sort of classic monsoon ridge that people hear about, you know, has pushed north. And that allows us to get winds from the east, higher level winds from the east. And then when you have the circulation around the high, we get some surface level winds from the south, southwest, southeast. And that's, for the most part, played out. I think the difference this year has been perhaps the winds aloft haven't been as strong. So it's And that would mean that the clouds and the precipitation that form over the mountains have a harder time getting blown off those mountains into the valleys. And so we'll just see, you know, that's weather. That can change on a daily and weekly basis. We'll see how that plays out for the rest of the season.
You just came back from a great trip to East Africa. You were on business down there for your work at the University of Arizona. What was your takeaway message?
Well, you know, I was in Kenya on the flanks of Mount Kenya for close to 2 weeks.
Is there any snow left on the top of Mount Kenya?
There is, but interestingly, we were working with small maize farmers there, and you know, we were asking them about how they deal with, you know, climate conditions like drought, and how do they know what the conditions are going to be like? And they were many of them were pointing to Mount Kenya is like, well, there has been a lot of snow from the, mm-hmm. It was a wet early season and there mm-hmm. was, and snow fell. And they're like, well, there's been a lot of snow on the mountains. And therefore, because of that, we expect the rainfall to, to continue. So they really
use kind of their monitor, isn't it?
Yeah, they really use that as sort of their monitor, exactly.
Wow. And maize, what's the difference between maize and corn? Is it basically the same thing?
I think it's the same thing.
Okay.
They're just amazing individuals who farm in, you know, really cool, diverse farming systems, small scale, like 1 to 2 acres.
Still see any coffee growing on the slopes of Mount Kenya?
It is a coffee growing region, and we passed a lot of coffee crops. But this time, I mean, I work in coffee in the Caribbean,
I was
wanting to work more in East African coffee, but not this trip.
You were there for maize, so yeah. You stuck to it.
Yeah,
Zach Guido, always a pleasure. Thank you very much for the work you do over at the University of Arizona. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, this portion of the Buckmaster Show, Zach, is presented by Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's is home, Zach, as you know. We've talked about this to the Danish Kringle. What a great bakery this is. You love bakery goods.
I love all sweets, especially bakery goods.
Mona's is located on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There is a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. And there's also a link to all of our partners there at buckmastershow.com. Mona's for lunch right now. See you later. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday during the noon hour. We'll have an overview of the UA High Tech Parks and the economic impact on our area. Also, Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the UA Bay Center for Integrative Medicine. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We've got all of our podcasts and live streaming at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
I'm going to consult with him right now, Shelley Fishman. Hello, Shelley. How is your week going?
My week is going great, Bill. Market seems to be reacting positively to the good economic news, and we're now looks like we're going to have a couple of days in a row closing over 25,000. And, you know, if you're a person who does charts and everything, that might indicate that we're ready to break out above 25,000 and stay there.
All right. Well, let's take a little break from the markets and talk about something very important, especially to those of us who are older Arizonans, and that is health care insurance.
Yeah, there's a study that was just published by BTN Research, and what they've indicated that on average, an American household spends $197,000 in out-of-pocket health care costs during retirement, and that does not include any expenses that might be related to nursing home care. So that's essentially $200,000. For a household, let's say there's two people in that household, so that's $100,000 for each of them in, let's call it statistically, a 20-year retirement from age 67. Now, one of the things I couldn't get out of the study, and I apologize for this, was whether that $197,000 included the Medicare Part B deductions that come out of Social Security. So let's just say that they do. That still means that during retirement, a household is going to have to shell out, or on average would shell out, about $135,000 in cash to pay for medical expenses not covered by Medicare. That's over 20 years. That's, you know, not huge amounts of money, but we know statistically that almost 80% of medical costs come in the last 2 years of life. That doesn't sound very surprising. I mean, that's when you get sick and you die.
Right.
But what does that mean in terms of the decisions that people have to make in those, you know, when those expenses occur, about either postponing care, delaying care, or avoiding the expense completely? I read a story not too many weeks ago about a woman, I want to say it was in New York City, whose foot got caught between the train, the subway train, and the station, got pretty badly mauled. And when they went to call an ambulance, she said, "No, I can't afford it."
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. So, so preparing for retirement, preparing for the expenses of how you're going to maintain your health during retirement is really very important. So all you listeners who are under 50, you should listen in with at least one ear, because I know you all believe you're invulnerable. But for the rest of us, these are things we have to plan for.
And we're not saving very much.
And we're not.
The
average
retirement, I mean,
the
it's
average
very
family
low.
Has less than $50,000 saved for retirement. And the other statistic that you hear all the time is that the average family in the U.S. right now cannot easily meet the need for a $400 added expense.
Wow.
In other words, you know, the roof is leaking or the air conditioner goes out or something like that. So we as a culture, as a people, as a country, are not properly saving for retirement, but we're also not properly saving for the everyday emergencies that just kind of pop up. And that's really a little distressing. We know right now that even though consumer spending is up, a lot of that consumer spending is being financed through debt, through credit cards, and we're seeing also companies encouraging people to use their homes as credit cards. Now, the last time we saw that, it didn't end well in 2006 and 2007. So we as individuals really do need to prepare, as difficult as it may be. We know that, for instance, that the employment numbers are pretty good, but we know that the hourly wages are not going up as fast as they need to in order to keep pace with inflation. So the problems that the economy has been experiencing over the past decade or more are still with us. And that's something that as investors we have to worry about, but also just as individuals we have to think about what the welfare state, if you will, what the contract that we strike with our government is going to be able to help us out with, the social contract, if you will, is going to be able to help us out with over time. We know that the benefits here in this country are less generous than they are elsewhere in the world. And we like that. We think that that's a good thing, that it promotes individual initiatives and that kind of thing. But and you wonder if people are saving enough and anticipating what they should do. The other thing, very important, Bill, is as you approach that magic false year of age 65, there are things that you really do need to do to think about to prepare for how you're going to deal with healthcare costs. And as you approach age 65, you do need to notify the Medicare people that you have some choices to be made. You need to sign up for Medicare Part A. You need to make some decisions about whether or not you need Medicare Part B immediately. For instance, if you stay employed by your employer who is providing healthcare for you and you don't retire, then your employer's healthcare will provide the Part B healthcare insurance, whereas Medicare will then become subordinate to that. But then on the day you retire, you got to flip that around. The other thing you need to understand is Medicare Part B has deductibles and it has yearly maximums.
That's why people look for a supplement.
Exactly. And so you need to educate yourself about whether you want to go with a supplement or whether you want to go with something called Medicare Advantage to help overcome the costs of, copays and deductibles as you go to a doctor's office. You need to do those things in the year you turn 65 or actually within 6 months, 3 months in front and 3 months behind your birthday, because those supplements and or Medicare Advantage cannot be denied to you if you apply for that within that period of time. If you wait and try to apply for some of those features later on, you are underwritten for those things, and they will ask you health questions, and you can actually either have those provisions denied or you pay a higher rate for them. So it's not a good thing to, stick your head in the sand and say, these are things that I'll worry about when I get sick. You just shouldn't do that. You need to either educate yourself or find an insurance agent who, thinks they're going to sell you something. That's okay. But on the way to selling you something or not, they will educate you as to what it is available, what the implications are of buying one or the other or neither, and what could possibly happen if you try to delay that decision. So these are things you need to know about. And the thing that is so important in terms of this segment and what I want to kind of communicate to the listening audience is, even though it's an unpleasant thing to think about, you need to think about it, and you need to make sure you're fully aware of what your options are and how to fulfill those options under, you know, changes in life as you get older, but also your lifestyle. For instance, it actually makes a difference whether you are going to spend your retirement here in one state, in Arizona, mm-hmm. Or you have a summer house somewhere mm-hmm. else. Mm-hmm. And if it's in another state, that can actually change the way you make a decision about how you cover your health care costs during retirement. You wouldn't think so, but it does.
All right.
Those kinds of things are really important, and you know they determine how you're going to make those decisions, but also then how you need to invest during retirement to make sure that you can cover that $197,000 of cash expenditure. That's just the average. You could be way on, you know, the high side of that, or, you know, way on the low side of that, but you can't know.
$200,000
Yeah, cash money, right.
Out-of-pocket health care costs during exactly. retirement. Shelley Fishman, good information as always. Thank you very much, Shelley. And we will talk to you next Tuesday. Thank you,
sir. You
bet.
I look forward to it.
All right.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Many people ask me what it will take to make our community a better place. Well, it takes all of us. Our greatest resources are retired people with a lifetime of experience, skills, and resources that could be used to transform our community. Many of you come from somewhere else and haven't fully connected. Our community needs you and needs you now. I encourage you to find a nonprofit or church and join them in helping to transform Tucson. Your retirement could be the most productive time in your life. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. This is the week of their big event. It's the Clay Festival, everything to do with pottery. And it's going on this week over in Silver City. It's only a 3-hour drive over to a beautiful portion of the southwestern United States. It's that southwest corner of the state of New Mexico, the land of enchantment. And pretty easy to get over there, no problem. And then once you're there, lots to do in Silver City. And a good starting place is their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find many recreation opportunities, maybe doing a little hiking in the lovely Gila National Wilderness, which is all greened up from the rain. And if you're looking for a place to stay, there's great places, great ideas also on the website, southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now Rachel Sedgwick to our program. Rachel is one of the TUSD, Tucson Unified School District Governing Board members. Rachel, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You have been now on the board about a year and a half. How would you summarize, how would you assess this first year and a half? It's been certainly a learning curve, and that would be expected.
Absolutely. First and foremost, it's been a tremendous learning experience. I have learned a great deal about being a board member and about TUSD and about being sort of a public official.
Public figure.
Yeah, so it's been tremendous, very educational.
Well, let's begin with something I saw on your Facebook page. I guess you met with Superintendent Gabriel Trujillo yesterday, and you kind of went over, did a deep dive into these scores. And how do the academic achievement scores look to you?
Well, I you know, there's two ways, I think, to look at the scores, and one is in terms of improvement, and which was very exciting. I think we saw improvement in every I'm just looking in just about every area except for one, when it came to language arts, and three or four when it came to math. And even those three or four areas in the math, students actually, they did improve in many ways. And so that's really, really good news. The level of improvement is very impressive. Even to improve by one percentage point is very difficult to do. And some of these, the grades improved by 3 and 4 percentage points, even more than that in some cases. So that's tremendous. Of course, as some community members have pointed out, the scores in some areas remain low in the 20 percentile range. And that's, you know, that needs to be improved upon. But I think that in general, TUSD is headed in the right direction. The scores didn't go down, which is very good in general, except for that, I think it was 8th grade math. And everything else went up. And so while I would like for the scores to be higher, I fully recognize, because I spent so many years teaching, that it's very difficult to improve scores
the way
we did.
It's hard to turn it around overnight. Come on. It's very hard. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what did the superintendent, was he happy with that scores?
Yeah, we're all really impressed with the good news. And you know, the post on Facebook was about my slight frustration at the, at sometimes with some of the local media players are more willing to write negative things or nasty things, and I understand they call it, you know, it's to get readers, but it's important to me for the livelihood of Tucson that we also, that we're accurate and that we give praise where praise is due.
Yeah, I was just trying ahead. I've got a stack of papers in front of me that I was trying to find where you actually said you did an op-ed, and it was a long time ago, I believe, but I keep it for my files thinking, well, I'll have Rachel on someday, and today's the day. You did an op-ed focus on student achievement, not so much the Mexican-American studies politics. That was back in February. Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that, Rachel?
Well, I think, with that particular statement was made with reference, as you mentioned, to the Mexican-American Studies course. And a lot of people in the community were very much in favor of the course. Other people in the community were very much against the course. And I thought, well, as school board members, it should really be our job to focus on academic achievement. And if this course raises academic achievement, then the curriculum service providers and our curriculum people should figure out what it is about the course that is so effective and implement that, continue that, and learn from it and spread it to other courses. And if there is a part of the course that is problematic, then obviously, you know, it needs not to continue. And that would go for just about any course in TUSD. But it should always be, as far as I'm concerned, we should always maintain a focus on student achievement. The reason why we do what we do is to teach young people generally how to be better citizens and how to read and think and write.
It's hard to believe, Rachel, but school starts in a couple of weeks. And I'm wondering, what are you hearing about school teachers and the shortages of teachers? What's kind of the overall impression you're getting as we get ready to open the doors to school here?
Generally, I hear people are very hopeful for this year. We have many fewer vacancies than we did last year. I believe that we have 50 fewer vacancies this year, which is great. And we have made a move. You know, we've adopted a new code of conduct, and that should help in those schools where administrators felt that they were having difficulties ensuring that students toe the line, if you will, or where teachers felt that they were not getting the support. We hope that this code will start to change things around. And I think that's the general feeling in the district. People are looking forward to this school year. And I think we also understand that there's a lot of unknowns. You know, we won't know how effective the code of conduct truly is until after it's been implemented.
Is it a long code of conduct or kind of a one-page thing? Or
it's much, much shorter than the previous version. I think the previous version was 20 or 30 pages. This one's less than 10.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, our administration has truly done a remarkable job with all of the board guidance, all of the instructions that we've been given. As I'm sure you know, the board doesn't give instructions. All five of us don't always give compatible instructions, so it can be difficult for the administration. And they bent over backwards. They really did improve the code. And so,
yeah, because let's face it, all five board members are – I don't know if this is – you're rarely on the same page. I mean, I guess you have some unanimous votes, but –
Yeah. I mean, there are many.
Or maybe that's an impression that the public has, that there's rarely everybody on the same page.
Right. Yeah. It's definitely the impression. I would like to say that we're actually coming together better.
Really?
I think so.
I know
so.
You had a retreat, right?
We had a retreat.
How did
a little
that
while
go?
Ago. It went well to remind us, to focus on the issues, to try not to doubt each other's motivations for being on the school board, to try to give each other the benefit of the doubt. We're all trying to help. And so one of the neat things that came out of that meeting was that we were given an assignment, which was to go ahead and meet with another board member outside of a school board meeting.
Oh, really? Have a cup of coffee and
And we were, and it was recommended that we go and meet with someone we wouldn't ordinarily meet with.
Mm-hmm.
And so in my case, Crystal Foster came.
Oh.
Yeah, and met with me and a number of community members. And mm-hmm. so it was really positive.
Did you two meet over a cup of coffee or how did that go?
Well, I host these small gatherings every other Saturday.
Little soirees.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Little places around town. I call them sit and chats. Mm-hmm. So we can sit and talk about TUSD. Mm-hmm. And she came to one of those. And so there were maybe 10 or 15 even teachers, community members, all from all different, they're just all TUSD stakeholders. And she and I had a chance to chit chat with them, and it was very positive.
Very good. Why don't we take our break right here, Ray, and then we've got a lot more to talk with Rachel Sedgwick about. 790-2040 if you'd like to join in the conversation. It's the Buckmaster Show on a Tuesday afternoon. We'll be right back.
Tucson's spectacular thunderstorms are here. Tehonachuil Park's Monsoon Madness plant sale is July the 27th and 28th, featuring access to the area's foremost plant experts about everything from agaves to herbs and adeniums to aloes. Come and see us at 7366 North Paseo del Norte, Friday, July the 27th from 3 to 7 p.m. and Saturday, July the 28th from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Visit our website at tehonachuilpark.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our support comes from, among other places, and we're glad they're with us, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs. But now there's more than just gardening, because they are home to Zocalo. And Zocalo for years was over there had their shop over by Country Club and Broadway. Well, now they're over on the 13-acre site at Green Things and all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Good starting place would be greenthingsaz.com. Rachel Sedgwick is with us. Rachel, do you ever have time to do any gardening?
No. Very little time. Very little.
I know you're very busy. You are an attorney. You've got your legal work. And, of course, you have the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. And the five members of the board, this is a non-paying position.
That's correct. That is correct. You do it for the joy of having an impact on the schools.
Right, and it does take, I know, a lot of time. Let's talk about the budget situation. The board was not able to start the new fiscal year with a balanced budget. Is that correct?
The budget is balanced, but okay. We don't have a very large carry forward. It's definitely less than $1 million, and that makes our fiscal experts very nervous.
Because legally, you have to have a balanced budget, right? Is that
we do have to have a balanced budget, and if we don't, the statute provides the state can move in and do all sorts of things to help us, you know, balance it.
And there's a lot of confusion about this, the property tax, TUSD having to adopt the tax hike. What's going on with that?
Well, it seems
very complicated.
Yeah, it's very complicated. It's very confusing. But the big picture story is that the legislature seems to be trying to raise a tax without having had a vote to do that. And so that's a problem. It's against the Constitution. And as a result, the county has refused to collect the tax from our taxpayers. That means that when TUSD goes to the county for our funding, they're not going to have it. And so that sets us up to take legal action against the county. And they are working with us. We're also working with the city council to make sure that we present a united front and that the legislature understands that Southern Arizona, Tucson, does not agree with this move, and we're going to do what we can to make sure they follow the Constitution and we get our funding.
We're talking about $16 million in desegregation taxes.
That's it.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
It's a tremendous amount.
So what does this mean to the whole budget picture right now? I mean, you say there's just very little money. Kind of in your like rainy day fund or whatever. Mm-hmm. So how would you describe the budget picture?
Well, the word bleak comes to mind, but I'll say at the same time, I think that TUSD, we can do a better job of being a little bit more creative in terms of finding funds. Been asking all sorts of questions lately about, well, what about this money or these funds or that funding source? Where does this go? How can we be more efficient? And those are generally the questions that I think we need to ask, or just how do we increase efficiency and do more with less money? It's an impossible task, but businesses nationwide have been called to do it. And so I think we can learn, you know, we're a public body, clearly. We don't operate as a for-profit business does, but we're all in the same boat. So I think that we can do it, and technology will definitely help.
State lawmakers in May, Rachel, approved a budget that gave schools a windfall of funding totaling about $16 million for TUSD above inflation for the next school year. Most of that funding, more than $15 million directly, went into salary increases. That's got to make teachers, at least for the moment, pretty happy.
Yes. You know, everyone got a raise. So it wasn't just the teachers.
All of the support people?
All the support people. All the different bargaining unit members got raises. And generally, everybody belongs to, or they fall under the purview of a bargaining unit. So they're you know, mm-hmm. the bargaining units negotiate on their behalf. So everyone got a raise. My frustration with the vote was we could have been a bit more creative and conscientious about how we allocated the money. But it was very positive that everyone did get a raise. Teachers got a 9% raise. We chose to do that by giving each teacher a payout of, I believe it was $3,000, potentially $3,500, but I think it was $3,000 per teacher.
Hmm.
So most teachers were very happy with that. But of course, for a teacher who has more experience, that $3,000 represents a lower percentage of their salary.
Oh.
And so that was a source of some contention. But everybody was quite content to have a bigger paycheck this year.
Tony has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Tony, how are you?
Thank you for taking my call. I enjoy your show immensely.
Thank you very much.
Why can't we get our salary structure more in line with a school district like Phoenix Union? I can't understand how a teacher of 15 or 16 years with a master's degree is only in the $40,000 range. It seems like that the inequity is just too pervasive and it's not uniformed. I don't understand why TUSD cannot get its act together with salary structures. Example, starting assistant principal of an elementary school, $64,000, $65,000. Middle school and high school, you're around $74,000 for assistant principal. And now we're talking to a teacher that's been in the classroom 15 years on the master's, maybe in the 40s. It's just unbelievable. Not everyone wants to be an administrator, but, you know, really to survive in Tucson, you really don't have a choice. And you're draining your, you know, the greatest impact that you can have with kids are with teachers. So, teachers are faced with the option of either go to administration, fight, you know, they're fighting this fight, and they could be in the classroom really helping out the kids. So,
okay, thank you, Tony.
Yeah, Tony, unfortunately, you are preaching to the choir, if you will. I agree. I think that we really do need to fix up our salary schedules so that they show that our priority is our educators. Clearly, a budget is a policy document, and we don't prioritize the educators, so I agree. We end up encouraging people to leave the classroom if they want to make a living wage. And that's, it's not right. I don't think it's efficient or effective either. And so that was part of my frustration, again, with the vote that we took on May 22nd. I thought that we could, with this new money from the state, begin to reorganize our salary schedules and begin to encourage people to get back into the classroom. To do that, it requires changing a lot of things that have been in place for many, many years. It's about going against tradition. And I didn't understand quite how difficult that is until after I'd been on the board for some time. You have to have, you know, at least 3 school board members who agree that those changes need to be made, and then who have the courage to stand up in the face of some people are going to come and yell and scream and say, hey, you can't do that. And so, you know, talking about, for example, lowering administrative salaries, you're going to lower anyone's salary. That's a very politically difficult move. And so these are the things that we are up against. But I, for one, am fully ready and willing to start making the votes, making the decisions that will begin to change the salary schedule and reprioritize our teachers and educators, those who work directly with students. And it will take time and determination, I think, on our part. There's also the other side of things, which is somewhat of an excuse, but, you know, I don't want to justify too much because we have to work with attorneys, desegregation attorneys and plaintiff groups and the court, we do receive a lot of, we are mandated to make decisions in terms of administrators and that sort of thing. So that's another aspect of what makes TUSD very difficult to change.
And if you were not under this TUSD deseg order, it would change, it'd be a game changer, wouldn't it, to say the least?
It would, yes.
But you wouldn't have as much funding, you wouldn't have as many funds.
Well, that's not correct so much, okay. Only because even once we get out from under the DSEG order, we'll continue to collect the funds. If you look at Phoenix, for example.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll still get the funding because the schools need to stay desegregated.
Okay. But it really complicates things,
it
this
really
DSEG
does.
Order, which has been around for, I don't know, 40, more than 40
it
years.
It really does complicate things. But we're making tremendous strides. This was the first time that TUSD attorneys put in a number of recommendations, and the court accepted all of them.
Wow.
For the first time in, I could say ever, but I can't say that with certainty, but it's been a very long time.
Any school closings this year or what?
No school closings. Mm-hmm. Everyone is, we're investing in all of our schools. We're going to build every program up, and our goal is to bring students back into the district.
Better security,
yep, across the district. We're having, all of our schools are being...
Upgraded,
yep. Security cameras and all kinds of technology is being put in place.
All right. School starts in a couple of weeks, and it's going to be very interesting to see how the school year goes. Rachel, thank you very much. Overall, has it been a good experience for you this past year and a half?
Yes. It's been very challenging, and it's been tremendously educational, and I appreciate both of those things.
All right. Rachel, we will continue to follow what you have to say on your Facebook page, and good luck with the new school year. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Rachel Sedgwick, one of the five governing board members at TUSD. Coming up this afternoon, we've got Mike Check, another one of our fine local talk shows. Mike Shaw hosts that show from 4 to 6. Ray Allen helping Mike out. And then tomorrow morning, we do Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, and then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04. On behalf of Rachel Sedgwick and Ray Allen, all of us wish you a great afternoon and evening. Have a great day.